This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
So our reporter from The Hook online at readthehook.com, Courtney Stewart, joins us live in studio. How are you?
I am fine, Coy. How are you?
I'm good. How's your summer going?
My summer is going fine. How about yours?
I'm good. Do you have a favorite summer moment of 2008 thus far?
A favorite summer moment.
Favorite meal? Yeah, movie? Have you seen any good movies
lately? I had some fun at some of the pools and, yeah.
You know what we just discovered? Didn't even know it existed. The Greenleaf Park.
I also discovered
the new water park.
It is quite fabulous.
Yeah.
Yes.
The kids loved it.
Loved it.
They got the big mushroom, you know, and the water comes out of it, and the spray this and the spray that. And my daughter named all the fountains, you know, this was big octopus and these were the seahorses. And
yep.
Yeah, they were having a ball.
Yeah, and I saw kids from 18 months up to age 9. My son.
Playing in that
playing
water.
And enjoying the, you know, this little water park.
Yeah.
Very cool.
There you go. It is very nice. So, to totally change the subject, and this is certainly not cool, the cover story that you wrote for this issue of The Hook, you've got across the top of the front issue, it says, "Alarming. Most smoke detectors don't detect deadly smoke." And I was apologizing to listeners for a perhaps hyperbolic promo that ran today, but in a way, it's really not. I mean, we are talking about people who are dying and don't need to be dying.
And no, it really, yeah. I mean, it is truly alarming. It's something that I became aware of a couple of months ago when I did another story on a local fire. And the more I thought about it and the more we talked about it in the Hook newsroom, the more we felt like we just needed to do more on it because it's so... It was so stunning and so horrifying, and it's really hard to believe that it's something that people just don't know, including me, including the editor. We just didn't know, and then we wanted to do something else to really kind of drive it home.
Yeah. Now, Courtney, we're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. For the people who haven't read it yet, what are we talking about?
We are talking about smoke detectors, and specifically one type of smoke detector. It's called an ionization detector. And it's actually the type of detector that it's in 90% of American homes.
It's what I have in my house.
It's what I have in my house that I just built this year. It's, you know, brand new houses. It's not like it's an old technology. It's just that it's a type of technology that does not detect smoke created by a smoldering fire, which is there's no open flames at that point, but it's building and you can be exposed. You are exposed to carbon monoxide and possibly cyanide and all kinds of gases that are being released.
That can kill you.
That can kill you. And it's the one, you know, it's the type that's most likely to happen at night when you're sleeping, which is really the only reason to have a detector in the first place, or the main reason, because if you're awake, you're probably going to smell it and you're probably going to
say, what is that smell? Is something on fire? Yeah, but if you're asleep,
you want to get woken up.
You want something that's going to wake you up. And what y'all have learned at The Hook, and we'll talk about the fire tests that you did to prove it, most of the smoke detectors that people have in their homes don't detect the smoke. They detect flames.
Or they detect particles released by flames. I mean, it's smoke, but it's only once an active flame is, it's already ignited.
But you can have, like, if somebody fell asleep on a couch or, I mean...
A cigarette between cushions,
it's going to smolder and create a whole lot of smoke before you ever see fire.
Right. Electrical fires, because, you know, a lot of people don't smoke, so they're going to say, well, that's not going to happen to me. But an electrical fire in the wall can smolder for a long time. It can be releasing up to an hour and a half. The whole room can be filled so thick with smoke you can't see, and the ionization detector won't trigger.
Now, tell me about the tests that y'all did. When you did them, where you did them, what happened?
Well,
you have pictures of this in the paper.
Yeah, we had we decided that we wanted to do this smoke detector test so we could really see for ourselves and get the local fire departments, and they were really supportive. They allowed us to do the test, and they provided the support to do the test in the local burn center, which is a cinder block building behind the jail on Avon Street.
Where they, like, set fires.
They set fires. They do training there.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty sophisticated building with temperature gauges and the ability to read stuff. And so they gave us permission to do that there. And then they also were there with us with the truck and everything to keep it safe. And then we flew a guy named Jay Fleming, who's the deputy chief of the Boston fire department. We flew him down because he is he's a crusader. He's
become sort of a national advocate on this issue.
He is
trying to wake people up. No pun intended.
He's kind of out on his
own. Your smoke detector ain't going to work.
Yeah, I mean he's extreme in his opinions on this. I mean he says bold things like 10,000 people have died as a direct result, and he is convincing. And he's convincing legislatures, and he's convincing professional organizations, firefighting organizations, to reconsider. So we decided that we would have him come down. He was willing. We flew him down. He had set up the protocol to do it, and we set up the smoke detectors, two sets of each, in this burn center. We lit a couch.
One second. We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, and when you say two sets of each, you have the ionization smoke detector that most people have, which we are learning now really only detects a burning,
right,
big flames,
yeah,
not smoldering smoke filling the house. Then there's another kind.
There's another kind, and that is the amazing thing. It's called photoelectric, and it uses, whereas ionization uses a small amount of radiation to detect particles given off mostly by an open flame, photoelectric uses a beam of light, and when it's interrupted by particles, it triggers, and it's more sensitive to the smoldering.
Okay. So you put both kinds of smoke detectors in this building and you set a couch on fire.
Yeah. And there's also combination. There's also a type of detector that uses both. And so there's an argument, and it may be a compelling argument, that those are the best. But we wanted to test that. And there are some reasons that that Chief Fleming thinks it's not the best. But
okay,
we took two of each type, put one set, one of each inside a room, one set right outside, and then lit first a smoldering fire.
And you put like
a soldering iron,
basically the equivalent of a cigarette between cushions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we waited and watched.
And what happened?
Well, it took a while. I mean, it took a while for the
smoke to
build.
Are you in the room?
We were in the room. Haas and I had to be fitted for gear and.
And you have the masks on and everything. You're standing there.
We didn't at first. We were able to start out when they first stuck the thing in between the cushions. We sat there. We were wearing the fire suit, but not the mask. And then as it built up, you could start to smell it, and you could see. It took a long time, actually. It smoldered. It didn't, it smoldered for probably 25 minutes before you could really see and smell and sense, and the photoelectric went off.
So the smoke detector went off right away.
Right. And then a few minutes later, the combination went off, which makes sense because it also has a photoelectric component to
right.
it. And then we sat there. And the room, I mean, these things, it was a smoke detector surrounded with smoke. I mean, it was obscured by smoke. Never went off. An hour we sat there, we had to it was toxic in that room. And it never went off.
And you had to put the masks on.
Yeah.
At some point.
Long before that. They made us do it an hour and a half before it, before we finally gave up.
And the smoke detector that most of us have in our home, and the batteries were in it, and it was working and everything.
Brand new.
It was brand new.
Opened, tested by the firefighters, brand new, working.
It never went off.
Never went off. Until the couch ignited. As soon as there were flames, it went off immediately. So it does detect fire. It does detect the particles given off by a live fire.
But wouldn't you be dead by then? I guess that's the point.
You would be confused. You could potentially be disoriented. If you were sleeping, it could have put you into a much deeper sleep so that
you wouldn't wake
normal
up in.
Triggers wouldn't awaken you because you're poisoned, basically.
Yeah. And when we hear of these, we hear it on the news, house fire kills family of five, in Chicago in the middle of the night in the winter or something. And you just hear about these stories and you think, why didn't they wake up? I mean, what was going on? Well, this is it. This
a
may
lot
be
could be
could be an explanation. Mm-hmm. The smoke detector doesn't detect the smoke.
That's right.
The house could fill up with smoke and the smoke detector would never go off.
Right.
Because it's waiting for fire.
Yeah. Vermont and Massachusetts last month both signed different laws, but both pertaining to photoelectric technology, requiring that it be photoelectric only in new construction and in houses when they're sold. And that, in Vermont at least, that came specifically from one fire in which, when firefighters arrived, there were functioning detectors inside the house. They had not yet gone off, and it was too late. A mother and her four kids died, and they had functioning detectors. They never went off. They died of smoke inhalation and carbon monoxide poisoning.
It's amazing.
And so that, yeah, sort of.
So these smoke detectors, and I guess the takeaway from this is we need to buy new smoke detectors, right?
The takeaway, it's important to say if you have the ionization, it's not important to throw them away and have nothing. It's better to have something than nothing. But if you really want to be sure that you're going to be safe at night, and if one of these, the most likely kind of fire to start in your home, then you need to add a photoelectric, and more than one. You need to replace them. That is the message. The thing I hadn't mentioned about the combination, why not to do combination, because obviously, and we didn't get into the fact that in a flaming test, the ionization does perform quicker than a photoelectric, but it's only by about 30 seconds. So it's like one is like 30 minutes better or an hour better. The other one is 30 seconds better. So we're not talking about an equal difference.
When we use the word combination, that combination actually leans towards the poorer smoke detector rather than the better one. It's not really a 50-50 kind of combo.
I don't know if it is or not, but it has the component of each. So yeah. A, it's more expensive. So you're spending the most you can to get one of, you know, to get the ionization part, which is slightly faster at detecting flames, like by 30 seconds, and also to get the photoelectric, which is 30 minutes to an hour faster. But ionization detectors are more prone to nuisance alarms, which is sort of counterintuitive. They're the ones that go off when your toaster, burns the toast a little. They're the ones that go off from shower steam. They go off from
cheap
dryer
ones.
Lint.
These are the cheap ones we have now.
These are the ones we have. So everybody thinks, my smoke detector works great. It goes off every time I cook something.
Yeah.
No, that means if you have that problem, that means you probably have ionization, and that's why people disable their detectors. So that's another reason not to have an ionization, because it's more likely to be disabled.
Yeah.
If it keeps going off, you might just turn the battery backwards, or maybe you have a babysitter who gets driven crazy. They do it. You don't even know.
Yeah.
Suddenly you have a non-functioning smoke detector.
Yeah. So these photoelectric smoke detectors, the ones that are really good and truly detect the smoke.
Right.
How much are they?
More expensive? They're about $15. You can get.
Oh, well, so, I thought you were going to say like $100.
Well, it's a factor of no. No, it's like $15 on Amazon. I think locally, I picked up a couple at Martin's. They don't even carry them at
Martin's.
Lowe's. I love Martin's.
That's one of my favorite grocery store. I wish we had one over here.
Martin's Hardware had them.
And, Martin's Hardware. I thought you meant Martin's Grocery Store.
No, Martin's Hardware. That's where they carry. But he had ordered them after, apparently people were requesting them after the last
article. It seems to be that we're at this like turning point where as a country now, because the rest of the world obviously has known this. Mm-hmm. This is the law of the land in Australia, and you write in your article most European countries have known this for years.
Yeah.
But we're just sort of waking up here. Yeah. Wait a minute. We thought we were safe with these smoke detectors, but they really don't work that
They're not working that well. And the International Association of Fire Chiefs still endorses combination detectors. They're saying you don't know what kind of fire you're going to have. More research needs to be done. That's what both our local departments are giving out. It's certainly better than ionization. That's certainly better. But the risk of the nuisance alarm and disabling is what Jay Fleming would say is a reason to just, don't do it.
Yeah. So we need to get photoelectric.
If you're going out to replace,
photoelectric is the one that detects the smoke.
It detects the smoke.
Which is really what's going to get
and
you.
And it's not going to get
if you're
you're
asleep.
Not going to, you're going to be less prone to nuisance alarms. It's going to detect the smoke you need it to detect, and you're not going to be as prone to nuisance alarms.
It's not going
to
do like the toaster and everything like that.
Right.
It'll get like the smoldering flames, the electrical fires, the stuff you really should be worried about in the middle of the night.
You still could get nuisance alarms. It's not like they are completely protected from that, but studies have shown it's significantly less
and
likely.
And those cheap smoke detectors we have now are, what, like $5?
$5.
So
yeah,
it's not
on
that
Amazon,
much more.
$5. It's not. Well, I mean, it depends. If you're getting 100 of them, it adds up.
But I mean, we have two in our house. Two or three.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and they say you should. I don't know exactly what the code is now, but I think in my house there's one in every bedroom, one in the hallways. They're all over the place, but they're wired together. But they may not. It might not. So I went out and got some photoelectrics.
Well, we want to encourage everybody to read your story. It really is fascinating. You read it online at readthehook.com or pick it up in this week's issue, and hopefully we'll see some type of. I mean, I would personally think, because I think this way, hopefully we'll see some type of legislation or word from our government trying to alert people to this issue.
And
you're not as safe as you think you are.
Right. And I was encouraged that following this and following the test, the local departments now are both going to be tracking what type of detector is present in each fire.
There you go. Courtney Stewart of The Hook, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you,
Coy. Thank you for the work.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.